There are lots of things you can spend your tax refund on, but one thing you don't have to spend it on? A new smartphone. Switch to MetroPCS now and get not one, but two free 4G LTE smartphones for brands like Samsung and LG. Plus, you're on T-Mobile's blazing fast nationwide 4G LTE network. Hurry, switch to MetroPCS and get two free smartphones after instant rebate. One heck of a deal, only at MetroPCS. Limited time offer. Sales tax not included in phone price. Coverage and services not available everywhere. See store for details and terms and conditions.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Author's Corner. You can connect to me at Total Tutor on Twitter, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, Total Tutor, Pinterest, Neil Haley, Google Plus, and also on Periscope at Total Tutor. And I'm excited to welcome to the program author Rob Roselli. Rob, how are you? And we keep thinking things won't get any crazier, but they got crazier this week, didn't they?
Hey, Neil.
How are you, Rob?
No. Things are continuing to degrade and denigrate every discussed every week. And of course, today being President's Day, 2016, and things are just the whole thing's spinning out of control. No matter which way you look, geopolitically, economically, in terms of what happened this past week with one of the conservative Supreme Court justices down there in Texas, the whole. That whole mess is just come that came out of left field. That came out of nowhere.
That could lead to quicker of your prophecy, right? The wrong person's appointed in the Supreme Court. Things could unravel even more quickly, couldn't they?
Well, the issue at hand is you have one of the more conservative, constitutional-centered Supreme Court justices just dead under extremely suspect circumstances.
Oh, yeah. Do you think there's going to be conspiracy involved in that, too? I think there will be.
Well, it's like a Kennedy assassination, okay? You're never really going to find out. I mean, the one thing you do know is the whole thing stinks. And to me, the people that did kill him almost really did it in a mocking kind of manner where they made things so obvious. You know, at the same time, we're supposed to believe that this guy just passed away in his sleep and, with a pillow over his head and no autopsy and a story coming out of the circumstances of something that should be a cut and dry case. The guy found dead, especially that someone of that stature, and then you have an autopsy and you determine a cause of death. Was there foul play? No foul play. None of that happened. I mean, it's just
That's not coming out. So you're giving us news that's not on Fox News and stuff. So that some of the stuff that's coming out from the death, were you picking that up from the different places that you've heard about?
Yeah, I mean, look, the only one I can tolerate anymore is Savage, okay? And a lot of those from the Savage show and all that. But, then you can just read, all the sources, you can just... him mostly. He don't want to report on it. But, other than that, the news... It's just—it's a joke. It's an absolute joke to Fox News is—they're a disgrace. I think we've got over them plenty of times. They're just really what they are. Is the establishment's kind of the media equivalent to the Republican Party? In other words. It's there to fool people into thinking they actually have a choice as to where they get their news from. We're all given the Hegelian dialect, right? Where you're given two false choices, and
right.
It's roughly equivalent to that. But anyway, I'm not getting into that right now. It's basically there so that people don't know what a joke. Where it's not too obvious is what a joke our whole, our whole reality is. Politically and academically, of course, the indoctrination cesspool, the free public schools, which you've talked about in the past, and the media, you know, it's so-called conservative, but what the conservatives on Fox News really all they are is ultimately are shills for the military-industrial complex, okay? You know, a group I've dubbed the un-American genocidal complex. And, you know, President Eisenhower talked about a military-industrial complex. Some people call it the Eastern Establishment. I've kind of taken a different tack and called it the un-American genocidal complex and tied it in with the United Nations, the Bilderberg Group, Skull and Bones, and these sort of things.
Right.
And really, when you go back and then you look at it, I mean, the best example I can find as far as, you know, the past, you know, say the 21st century, 2004 presidential election, I mean, you had two Skull and Bones alumni, George Bush, okay, the ultimate.
Yeah, let's go to George Bush and why you consider him a big part of this unraveling of our country. Why?
You know, Bush is, you know, the Bush family is, you know, they're the analogous to what I was talking about with Fox News, about the fake conservative, okay? You think Fox News is conservative, but again, they're nothing but a bunch of big government establishment shills. Okay, in the case of the Bush family, if you go back far enough into their history to their, you know, Prescott Bush and George Herbert Walker, okay, and then let's go back to the grandfather generation, okay, and they were tied in, really they got their start with working for the Harriman family and J.P. Morgan and high-ups in J.P. Morgan company, okay? And these were families that were heavily involved in the establishment of the early 20th century Federal Reserve Group, okay? So in other words, you had these families, Rockefeller, J.P. Morgan, you know, over in Europe, you had Rothschilds, Harriman, railroad interests, okay? And these are really a lot of the families that make up what I just called the un-American genocidal complex, okay? These were supporting Hitler. You know, Ford was another one, IBM, okay? They were basically set up Hitler industrially, and in fact, as I said, took over the economy in the form of the Federal Reserve System, okay? Gave us the Federal Reserve Bank. Okay, these are the families that got it started. I also started what's called the Tax-Exempt Foundations, Ford, Rockefeller Brothers Fund, the Carnegie Endowment. Andrew Carnegie was another member of this elite, of these elite families, okay? And they were all interconnected with this group called Skull and Bones, okay? And again, just as an aside, you know, my website, boxofsunglasses.com, is one word. And if you go on there, in honor of John Carpenter's great movie, They Live, okay, when Roddy Piper finds the box of sunglasses and he puts the sunglasses on, and anyway, it's boxofsunglasses.com. You'll find my book will come up, The Un-American Genocidal Complex. You can read about this in much greater detail. I'm kind of painting with a very broad brush. I realize I'm saying a lot here, but anyway, the Bush family got its fortunes from running with those kinds of people back in the early 20th century. And then you fast forward, and then you got George, you know, and of course we had the senior Bush. Okay, remember, he's famous for penning the term, the New World Order, okay, you know, what Saddam Hussein the first time back there in 1990
right.
In Iraq, okay. Okay, so, you know, immediately you say, well, wait a second, the United States during the 1980s, you know, Saddam Hussein was our best buddy while he was fighting the Iranians, and suddenly, when he outlived the usefulness, okay, then the United States goes and invades him.
So you think this is a money, do you think this is a Bush plan money-wise, meaning that they were trying to get the oil, and the Bush were just looking at making money off of this deal to go to Iraq?
I think it's much bigger than that. Okay, I mean the Bush family. I mean they're minor players. Okay, you know this is why they do things like, you know, stupid little things and like run for president. Okay. The presidency, it's just a seawall in the Oval Office. Okay. It's really has very limited meaning anymore. Okay. So it's not like back when the country was founded, you know, the president was held actual power and actually ran a show. Going back to George Washington, okay, and just to go on that string a little bit. I mean, if you go up a few years and you go back to Thomas Jefferson, you had this running battle with the what's called the Federalists, versus Thomas Jefferson was the Anti-Federalist. Okay, but really, what was at the core of that whole conflict, that political conflict, was the, there are obviously political differences, but one of the major differences was the establishment of a central bank. So if you go all the way back, there was a back and forth, and Andrew Jackson, okay, President Andrew Jackson, okay, not a great guy, I admit, in terms of his treatment of the Indians and the Trail of Tears and this sort of thing, but on the plus side, I mean, Andrew Jackson was a very powerful president. And again, this is going back to 1828 is when he was elected, but Andrew Jackson was the only president in history to fully pay off so-called United States Central Bank and get rid of it. And then there was an assassination attempt made on his life. There's somebody that came up to him and shot at him twice with two single-shot pistols, right, and both of them misfired.
So Bush is pretty much just a small piece of this un-American genocidal complex, right?
Yeah. They're useful idiots. Okay, they're like the Clintons. Okay, but the point I'm trying to make is that the bankers, behind this whole thing, they assassinated, Abraham Lincoln. It's the same, similar circumstances. Okay, Lincoln, again, not a perfect president. A lot of people can't stand Lincoln. I mean, he was a strong federal government guy. I happen to be on a camp, sit here and say, in terms of Lincoln, it's easy to sit here, Monday morning quarterback 150 years out and say that guy was, he did a lot of things that were illegal. He was anti-states' rights and things that were outside the Constitution. And, you could say that. But the fact is, Abraham Lincoln knew the enemy he was dealing with, this cabal of bankers, okay? And without going on that right now, I mean, really, he started printing legal United States tender that went outside this group, this cabal of bankers, this group of money changers. Remember the money changers going back to John chapter 2?
Exactly.
It's basically, in a religious sense and in a biblical base and center sense that this show, that I try to base this show on, these bankers are really the money changers of John chapter 2 and Matthew, if you go back to Matthew chapter 21, and Jesus chasing these guys out of the temple with whips, and they symbolize this group. But anyway, Lincoln, again, just brushing over that very quickly, Lincoln, we all know what happened to Lincoln, okay, and you fast forward 100 years and you go to John F. Kennedy, again, and the Kennedys, another interesting family. They're basically, Joe Kennedy was running alcohol during Prohibition. Okay, he's hanging out. This is the old Joe Kennedy Sr. If we go back to the late 1920s. Okay, he was hanging out with the same cabal of bankers, Ford, Carnegie, J.P. Morgan, Rockefeller interest. Okay, that's how the Kennedy family got its start in politics. Okay. So that right there actually kind of illustrates my point. You have the quote conservative Bush family, okay, getting their start, and so called the more liberal Kennedy family.
Right.
They're both basically taking money and being paid off by the same group of bankers. Now, of course, the one Kennedy, okay, now Kennedys are a bunch of liberal progressive. I mean, Ted Kennedy was basically a philandering drunk scumbag, okay? But he got a lot of so-called liberal legislation. He got it passed in terms of immigration, you know, banking, welfare, and all these other kinds of things. It really was, and he was influential. You know, what came out, you know, with Ted Kennedy, what was he, you know, big push for him was his so-called Great Society. Now, I've been tweeting out all these, you know, this word great, and let's just put that word, and I mentioned it last week, too, put that word great aside for a second. Just keep that in mind. But getting back to the Kennedys, okay, so you had JFK, John F. Kennedy, okay, now he was really pissing off this cabal.
Right,
okay,
right.
Because he was looking to break up the power of the CIA, okay, now the CIA, you know, very quickly was, you know, who was at the head of the CIA but David Rockefeller and the Rockefeller family, okay? It was known during World War II as something called the Organization of Special Services, or OSS, okay? And out of that, after World War II, this secretive group called the Central Intelligence Agency, you know, we're taught that, you know, the CIA, you know, they're fighting this war on terror for us, you know this the CIA is basically a parallel government, okay? But if you look at its membership, okay, a lot of the CIA types came out of the same group called Skull and Bones, okay, which I briefly mentioned. And their symbol, again, is one of those three symbols, and I cover in my book, The Un-American Genocidal Complex, okay? You got the United Nations, you got the Georgia Guidestones, which we've discussed at length in past, the Georgia Guidestones brought to us by this mysterious character called Robert Christian, or R.C. Christian, or the Rosa. Okay, and the other symbol is the Skull and Bones, the 322 of Skull and Bones. Okay, and they've, you know, I'm sure we'll get back to the symbolism of them and, you know, during the course of the show. But anyway, so those three interconnected groups right there, okay, you got the CIA right in the middle of it. Now, the term spook, now, a lot of people know the CIA as the term spooks, and the reason they were known as spooks is because they came out of this very creepy organization called Skull and Bones, you know, which is a secretive group, a fraternity, and it actually exists at Yale University. Okay, and you can never get the right story, but based on the research that I read on Skull and Bones, okay, it's just really, they're just a bunch of weirdos. At the end of the day, they're a bunch of Satanists and devil-worshipping weirdos, okay? The building they hang out on Yale University is something called the Tomb, okay? And these guys worship death, okay? They'll be naked and, you know, get into a coffin and do all kinds of weird things, and they make pacts with each other, okay? So basically, they admit to each other something so that they can all be bribed. In other words, they'll admit to something in their life, or they'll do something, or people will know that if, you know, like in terms of the Bush family and John Kerry was another member of Skull and Bones, if they ever step out of the line as to what the cabal really wants, they'll end up dead, or they'll end up, you know, disgraced, you know, publicly, because Skull and Bones is a very powerful organization. I think I forget how many they say. There's only 300 members alive at any one time, and only a couple dozen ever graduate from Yale University every year. But they all go into the media and to academia and all these other groups. But anyway, that's a brief background on what Skull and Bones is. But the term spooks, because these guys are so creepy, and the tomb, the building where they hang out is so creepy, it's spooky. So that, and it's many of the CIA types, okay, you're the head of your CIA, and all these other people that came out of the organization, they're known as Skull and Bones. And anyway, that's the term. That's the source of the term spooks. When people talk about CIA, that's where it came from. Okay, so anyway, so you have JFK, and they have John F. Kennedy coming out. Okay, what was he trying to do? He was trying to break up the power of this Central Intelligence Agency. I've read accounts where he was trying to force disclosure from NASA in terms of, you know, the real identity of so-called aliens. Okay, and I don't know if we want to go down there right now, but there's a lot of parallels between aliens and what we know, where people used to know as demonic demons, possessions going back to the Middle Ages and earlier in our history. Okay, perhaps that's another topic we can talk about in the future.
Right.
But anyway, Kennedy was looking for disclosure on that. And of course, his most famous, his most well-known action was to try to break the power of the Federal Reserve System. Okay, so now what he's doing is he's trying to get rid of this illegal Federal Reserve Central Bank. Now, remember, we talked briefly about this before, about the central bank going back to the beginning of this nation's history, these money changers. Okay, in 1913, of course, and when we talked about this on past shows about Woodrow Wilson, the so-called, you know, the hero of the progressives, you know, and Hillary Clinton, she's another, you know, her and Bill, they're other members of the Bilderberg Group, which is a sister organization to Skull and Bones. Okay, so that's you know, just as an aside, that's another example to this whole, you know, conservative liberal scam. Okay, you know, and we could see it playing out right now in our so-called presidential election.
Yeah, let's
Let me just finish up. Let me get to my point here.
Okay,
we can see that, and there's, you know, we can see another, you know, it's just another prime example of what I'm talking about. Okay, of course we have Trump right now, you know, who's kind of throwing a monkey wrench at this whole circus
right,
act
yes.
called a presidential election. But if it wasn't for Trump, okay, what would we have? We'd have yet another Bush, another member of the Skull and Bones Bush family versus, you know, the so-called conservatives versus the more, you know, so-called liberal Clintons. Once again, we have this idiocy, this repeat of this stupidity called the presidential election in this country. But, you know, you have a member of Bilderberg, okay, and you have these huge overlaps in membership between Skull and Bones and the Bilderberg Group. And, of course, the Clintons, you know, going back to 1992, now Bill Clinton's basically like a modern-day Ted Kennedy, a philandering, drunk scumbag, okay, a liar, a thief. You know, remember Bill Clinton, you know, trading with, you know, the Chinese going back to the 90s, and all the crimes and criminality surrounding them, because they have this same kind of, you know, what I'm talking about, this fake choice between, you know, so-called different political philosophies, but really they came from the same, or they come from this same wellspring of the so-called establishment, the Eastern establishment, or Skull and Bones, or again, what I call the un-American genocidal complex, this shadowy group that controls our media, controls our banks, and controls our very political systems, you know, our financial system. In other words, it controls our lives. But anyway, you know, JFK was the last president to actually take his job seriously, and he was taking these guys on. You know, look, I can't speak, you know, to a lot of things I mentioned, but, another thing, you know, JFK was looking, you know, people blame JFK for getting us involved in the Vietnam War, and yet he was, you know, he was warming the seat in the Oval Office, but he was actually having second thoughts in the Vietnam War, which was a big mistake, because the Vietnam War was the establishment war. Okay, you know, if you go back and look at the history, and people are scratching their heads, what the hell are we getting involved with in something called Vietnam, some inconsequential country far away, you know, the old, the fight communism, all this other stuff. It was all a bunch of crap, okay, because just because of World War II, you had the Rockefeller family, especially trading with China and Russia, you know, and making money, right, you know, off of, literally, on the backs and with the blood of American servicemen. Okay, so in other words, World War II, Mr. Rockefellers and others, you know, feeding the German industrial beasts, you know, IG Farben and these kinds of things, and selling the Nazis oil. You know, you go 20 years later, and here they are trading with the Chinese and the Russians, and all they were doing was turning right around and taking many of their money they were making and industrial capacity and whatever, and passing it right after the North Vietnamese. And of course, they, you know, we were supposed to be fighting communism. So in other words, the whole thing was a joke, but what it was doing was making tremendous amounts of money for the same cabal of families, okay, the same Skull and Bones Eastern establishment families. Okay, and Kennedy saw this. He was trying to put an end to it, but, you know, of course, it was really demise. She was trying to get rid of the Federal Reserve System. Okay, and in fact, he was ordering, he was in the process of printing United, what's called United States Treasury notes, and he was trying to get the federal government, the source of the federal government's money, to be Treasury notes. You know, if you may remember, you know Lincoln's greenbacks.
Right.
Lincoln tried to print, you know, so-called greenbacks going back to. But the point is that they were trying to develop a system where the United States government would not go to the Federal Reserve for its money, but print or come up with its own money without borrowing so-called fiat dollars from the Federal Reserve system. It's a little more complicated than that. But the upshot for our purposes right here is that he was looking to circumvent and get out of this from under this Federal Reserve monster. Well, we all know what happened to JFK, okay? I mean, he's in Dallas, and all of a sudden, you know, he's killed by the only bullet in history that, you know, that somehow, you know, changed directions in midair and, you know, caused, like, you know, 7 different wounds in 2 people by a guy who was an average shot at best when he was a Marine, and all of a sudden the best marksman in the world couldn't reproduce what this guy supposedly did. So if they shot Kennedy in broad daylight, there's never an answer. But here you have the so-called most powerful person, the most powerful position in the world, and even the neocons, the Limbaughs, the O'Reillys, the Fox News hacks, you know, they'll sit there and buy this crap lock, stock, and barrel. But the point is, it was a message to our other so-called politicians, you know, don't step out of line. Don't press us. I mean, don't do things like, you know, actually serve the people or try to help the masses or the imbecile majority or the unwashed masses, whatever term you want to use. I mean, we control this economy. We control both sides of the political spectrum. You know, if it's liberal or Democrat, don't cross us. And Kennedy was trying to cross them. So anyway, you know, fast forward to, you know, to this thing over this past weekend, and there's definite parallels. There's definite similarities in the sense that here you have a conservative Supreme Court justice, okay, trying to maintain the power inherent in the Constitution, okay? The original United States Constitution, as we all know, it spread the power out, you know, over 3 branches of government, and further dilutes the power of the central government, you know, what we know as the federal government. But the point is, that's really a government of the people, you know, and by the people and for the people. But this guy, now you have this, you know, this image of the beast Obama in the White House, and all of a sudden you have this conservative Supreme Court justice, okay? And then the parallel is,
right,
you know, here he is, dead under very, very suspect circumstances. And, you know, the upshot is that any politician, or in this case a Supreme Court justice, that takes their job seriously or too seriously, ultimately meets their demise, okay? And Joe McCarthy, the great Senator Joe McCarthy back in the 50s, he took on the taxing foundations, okay, Ford, to get us the same tired names. What he found was these foundations were tied up with the Federal Reserve System, Rockefeller, Carnegie. He found that his investigations turned out that these very powerful foundations were in fact controlling not just the media, but the educational establishment in this country, okay? And we all know,
where that's going, yeah, exactly.
To this day, the name Joe McCarthy, when you call somebody, you know, McCarthyism, it's supposed to be an insult. I mean, me personally, I would take it as a great compliment if somebody, you know, calls me a McCarthyite or aligns me with Joe McCarthy. But, I mean, look, again, the guy, you know, Schumer was perfect. Apparently, he had some kind of drinking problem. But the point is, if he exposed these same groups that I'm talking about, and problem is he didn't, you know, this is going back to the 50s, you know, McCarthy's problem was he didn't know how powerful these organizations and these interlocking, this power structure that he stumbled upon, he didn't know what it was. So basically what they did is they took their useful idiots, okay, McCarthy's case, the so-called attack dogs, and they just attacked his name, they attacked his credibility, they attacked his background.
Right.
And McCarthy was right. And, of course, he's another one that, quote, committed suicide under very suspicious circumstances. And, again, just like the Supreme Court Justice Scalia over this past weekend, dead under very suspicious circumstances.
Now it tangles in if we find out it could have been a possible Democrat who killed him, or if he was killed. What about the whole thing about appointing people? I hope that the Republicans are able to block every appointment that Obama brings up till this presidency's over, right?
Appointment, did you say?
Appointment. So whoever they're going to appoint to the Supreme Court, the Republicans block it.
I mean, come on. Again, it's another dog and pony show. Of course you're going to get some far-left liberal activist, some scam artist, okay, another Harvard Ivy League elitist, like Obama. Another useful idiot, so-called liberal, but they're licking the boots of the Eastern establishment, and they're going to take whatever crumbs the un-American genocide complex throws their way. I mean, in terms of Hillary Clinton, the Clintons, again, they kiss the ring and they kiss the ass of the Bilderberg group, and they throw her a few crumbs. Okay, Hillary, go out, we'll let you go out, be Secretary of State and be president, and all of a sudden, who's she hanging out with? And Henry Kissinger is another name, and I see you already burned half the show already, just trying to build a background here, but Kissinger's another one, another Harvard Rockefeller right. shill, Henry Kissinger. I can't believe this guy's still alive even. I mean, it seemed like this guy was 90 years old, going back almost 50 years ago, hanging out with the Nixon administration. But anyway, so Obama, the image who came from nowhere, the media darling of the un-American genocidal complex, the genocidal maniac, the World War III starting, post-birth abortion supporting multi-name scam, this image of the beast known as Obama. Okay, he's going to support, a so-called liberal Supreme Court justice and all this other. It's a joke. I mean, all he's doing is just basically rubber stamping his agenda. Of course, he's going to find some shill, okay, because the Supreme Court was one of the last vestiges, that was slowing his drive to communism / socialism down our throats. Okay, the Supreme Court was kind of slowing him down. So we have this, the leader of the so-called conservative wing of the Supreme Court, a legitimate conservative, this Justice Scalia.
Yeah.
He's dead on the very...
So what are your thoughts of...
Now Obama's going to move it.
Obama's hoping
so
that...
whatever illegal legislation he does, just real quick, another example. You got John Roberts, so-called, a Bush appointee, the so-called conservative Bush family, but again, coming from the same wellspring of our real shadow government, the Eastern establishment, John Roberts, appointed by the so-called conservative, the compassionate conservative George Bush, George Bush, the sellout Bush family, so-called liberal Republican or the compassionate conservative, who didn't, just like his descending or the guy he passed the baton off, Obama, running up the national debt, getting us involved in this illegal war, this fake war that profited the military industrial complex over there in Iraq and Afghanistan, the Bush family. But they appoint the so-called conservative John Roberts, and John Roberts turns right around, and he was the swing vote in the so-called this passage of Obamacare, and he had to do all kinds of legal gymnastics to get that passed. And basically, the way they got it passed was, they called it a tax. And they said, well, we do have, this is legitimate legislation because, it's a tax. Now, of course, if you go back Obama, the whole time, Obamacare is not a tax. And of course, they legalize it the way the Supreme Court legalized it when it was challenged, it was to call the tax. And then Obama and the rest of the liars turn right around and say, well, the Supreme Court said it's legal, so it's legal now. So in other words, the whole thing's a joke.
Right, right.
This is what I'm getting at the pay. Now, Obama's going to, he's going to appoint another, again, another law clerk, another left-wing, Ivy League, useful idiot law clerk to rubber stamp his illegal legislation. Okay, so in other words, the whole thing's a joke. All right, and we've talked about this in the past, okay, and what is liberalism,
right.
American progressivism, going back to Woodrow Wilson, it's nothing but centralized government control by a group of shadowy bankers, the Politburo, Soviet Union, there's no such thing. The only place where socialism and communism exists is on Ivy League campuses and classrooms of Ivy League universities, and in the minds of just doofuses, of complete douchebags, of guys like Bernie Sanders. Okay, it's really just to control the masses by the control of a few. This is why Lenin, okay, the Russian revolutionary Lenin, called American liberals useful idiots. Okay, and we're seeing again, we're seeing the same movie, the same repeat of the same show being played out before us, right before our very eyes. Right here in 2016, there's nothing else to say. It's a joke. It's like the movie Groundhog Day. It's the same movie playing over and over.
Except this whole Supreme Court thing. I just still think, except the Supreme Court. Did you know that President Obama wants to be Hillary to nominate him if Hillary wins to the Supreme Court? Obama wants to be on the Supreme Court.
Yeah, no, look.
That's scary.
Yeah,
Isn't that scary? Yeah.
Yeah, good for him. Good for Obama. You know that's another funny thing. You know, a guy that had, you know him and his wife. You know, that shady Michelle Obama. Another black power. Another Black Lives Matter socialist hack. Okay, Princeton. Princeton University affirmative action baby. Pretending like she's down with the people. Okay, raised in the most white establishment Ivy League backgrounds. It's just like her image, Obama, okay, the half-white sellout, okay, Obama, that's another thing. People call Obama the first black president. If you want to get stupid, which the whole thing is, Obama's mother was white. She opened her legs for a black African exchange student, who skipped town when Obama was 2 years old. But if you're to believe that the story of his family background, which is a whole other thing that's open to major questions. But anyway, if you take the story, just take a surface story, okay? So his white mother opens her legs for a black African exchange student, and now pops Obama. He skips town on him while he's two. His mother was a progressive college student, okay, moving all over the place. Basically, she was a whore. Okay, so that's your black president. Okay, so it's a joke. And of course, he's a major abortion supporter. Okay, abortion, the black genocide that started, something called the American Birth Control League and the Negro Project, and we've talked about that. Okay, and Obama, and Hillary's another major abortion supporter. The abortion state of purpose, again, is to just eliminate the undesirables, the human weeds, the morons, the misfits, the imbeciles, the Negro, okay, that came out of Darwinian evolution. We don't have time to get into that right now, but it's just another example of what a joke our whole system, our whole society actually is, okay? It's a mockery, okay? It is an actual mockery, okay? If you go back to the book of Galatians, okay, God will not be mocked. Okay, we will reap what we have sown. Okay, and what we are about to reap in this nation, this economic collapse of biblical proportions, which is coming about as a result of this fiat, this fake debt-fueled economy, this scam.
Right, right.
Now we call the United States economy. It's all about, the whole thing's about to come crashing down, okay? And these imbeciles, these morons, this conservative, this skull and bones conservative Bush family versus these, so-called more liberal, Bilderberg Clinton family. All right, it's an F --ing word joke. Okay, there's no other way to put it. Okay, and again, the only reason it's a little bit, it's fall off a little bit is because you got Trump running and really throwing a monkey wrench into this whole, this every four-year Groundhog Day, this every four-year scam known as a presidential election. Trump is representing the restless masses out here. The last vestiges of what I call it real America. Like, not that I'm 100% behind Trump, but what he struck America, true Americans from coast to coast. Okay, and that's throwing off things a little bit in this current cycle, this current rerun of the same movie. Is basically what's going on here. And I think the point is, my overall point is that, you know, the events of this past weekend are just an analogous situation to where a very powerful governmental figure that doesn't go along with the script, okay, that actually takes the Constitution seriously or the power of the people seriously, he's just off. You know, he's taken care of. And then the message is loud and clear to the other shills, that the John Roberts on the Supreme Court and the other judges, the other powerful federal judges and the other politicians, that says, you know, I'm either going to be dead or I'm, you know, and these guys are, most of these guys are all scumbags, okay, or something, you know, something in my past is going to be exposed. And this is why I'm a little certain that most of these guys are bribed, you know, the John Boniers, the McConnells, and these kinds of people, that people scratch their heads. Oh, he's supposed to be a conservative, and he promised this during the campaign. But now he's turning into a liberal, you know, on Fox News. You know, I have these jerk-offs come on and debate this on Fox News, and, you know, and it's like it matters, and like they could be taken seriously. But you know what's going on behind the scenes. You know that either if they step out of line, they're going to be assassinated in broad daylight, poisoned, or something in their background. Just like, you know, what's his name, Tom Cruise in that movie, The Firm. Okay, some photographs are going to surface, or some bimbos or something, or some hookers that he hung out with in the past is going to come to light, or something's going to come out to ruin that person's career. So, in other words, even our politicians, I guess another way to look at it, they're compliant, obedient little calves, okay? If they try to stray from the herd, JFK, Joe McCarthy, Abe Lincoln, Supreme Court Justice Scalia, you know, and then there's other names throughout, you know, the United States history. Andrew Jackson, we mentioned before. If you stray from the script, you will be dealt with accordingly. Okay. If you stray from the Fox News conservative, the Rupert Murdoch Fox News conservative neocon psychopaths, you know, the weapons of mass destruction neocons, you know, as symbolized by the Bush family versus the so-called liberal neocon warmongering Clintons. You know, the Clintons are another bunch of warmongers, you know, but they're called progressives, so they're liberal. If you stray from that script, from that joke, from that rerun of Groundhog Day,
right,
you will be dealt with accordingly. Okay, that's basically that's the backdrop of this weekend's events. Okay, that's it. People listening, say, you know, whatever. Like,
exactly.
Like if you think I'm crazy or whatever, then go watch. But
Rob, let's jump to you. Now, you've not been wrong about anything. Everyone would never have thought we'd be considering that literally one election would mean so much. We never thought that specifically enough. A lot of the predictions you have come true, and it keeps on pointing to the end of the world at one point in time. We've seen all these things flat out. You've had the research that's backed it and shown it through your certain examples. People have to set up, just get into play and understand this is what's going to happen and move forward. Right, Rob? I don't know. Are they supposed to just party like it's 1999 now or that they know the fact that it's over?
Yeah, look, I mean, you know, we're on a collision course. We're on a collision course with a mathematical certainty of the collapse of the fiat currency system, okay, known as the Federal Reserve System. Okay, and I remember last week, you know, I remember Proverbs 22:7, the debtor is slave to the lender. Okay, so when you get to the serious, you know, what's seriously running this country, okay, it's not George Bush, it's not this putz, this complete clown, this complete buffoon, you know, Jeb Bush, you know, your little mommy and brother George are coming out to defend this loser now. It's not those buffoons, it's not this whore, okay, this political whore, this sellout, this treasonous sellout, Hillary Clinton with the whole email scandal, okay, it's not, you know, and these endless debates and this idiocy on Fox News, okay? What we're coming up to now is the mathematical certainty, just like the Titanic. Once a certain amount of seawater entered into the hull of the Titanic, after the iceberg, you know, opened up a hole in the bottom of the ship, okay, it was a mathematical certainty that right. The thing was going to sink, okay? The Federal Reserve is the monetary equivalent of the Titanic, okay? We can enjoy it just like the people on Titanic, okay? Even while it was going down, you could still hang on the upper decks and enjoy it as it was going down. It's the same thing here. We could have the welfare state. We could have the government goodies, the government workers, the half of the employed in this country, not even the welfare recipients. Okay, these other welfare recipients known as government workers can enjoy their free benefits, okay, on the backs of the so-called, working half of the country, which is only partially true. But these welfare recipients known as government workers, the tens of millions of them, these useless bureaucrats, the paid retirements, the paid pensions, the paid health care, the endless wars, or whatever spending that this government has been doing, has been borrowed for.
Right.
From the so-called easy money of the Federal Reserve System, the whole thing has been a setup from the beginning.
Absolutely.
Okay, idiots get on. The Mark Levins and these, the Limbaughs and the Hannitys.
So you're not a Levin fan at all? What do you think of Levin? Is Levin a straight establishment guy too?
He's a joke. Right? He's a joke. Okay, and I have respect. I listen to him. And I have respect for the guy as far as a legal scholar, okay? And I'm sure, in a sense, if he was ever like an attorney general, okay, I'm sure he'd make a great, and I mean this, okay? But as far as his politics, okay, the man is a joke. He's a Limbaugh and a Hannity, Fox News, neocon hack, okay? He would look at someone like me, for example, and call me some kind of conspiracy kook or some kind of, whatever. But who do I? I really don't care. Okay, I'm not doing this for ratings or whatever you want to call it. I don't have a show to maintain. I don't have a huge contract to maintain. All right, so I can come out here and say, okay, the Federal Reserve shadow banking system is what runs this country. Okay, you can say it's conspiracy theory or whatever, but I don't give a crap. It's called math, okay? It's a mathematical certainty that this economy will crash. It's always been a mathematical certainty from its inception in 1913 that it will crash. It has to crash, okay? You cannot have a system of perpetual debt. No matter if you have a so-called Republican in office that cuts down the rate of increase in the debt, or you have a so-called liberal Democrat that spends more, that increases the rate of a debt at a faster pace. The point is, whether you're driving to the cliff at 100 miles an hour, or you're driving to it at 10 miles an hour, you're still going to drive over the cliff. The end result's going to be the same. You're going to crash. You're going to have an economic crash of biblical proportions. And we have just reached that point. Okay, this is why ultimately I cannot even take a guy like Donald Trump seriously, okay, unless he comes out and specifically says, look, when I get into office, I'm going to sign an executive order, just like JFK, okay, I'm going to order the United States Treasury to start printing debt-free United States notes, okay, and I you know, the exact technical aspects of how it would run out, okay, I'm not an economist, but that in general, in principle, he would have to immediately order the United States Treasury to start printing legal United States tender. Congress would have to take its responsibility seriously, but of course it cannot, because Congress is nothing but a bunch of, you know, sellout, sex-crazed, drunken buffoons, like we talked about, born-sold buffoons. Okay, so the point is, it ain't going to happen, okay? And anybody that says that, you know, this, again, these hacks, you know, Hannity with his Fox News contract, or O'Reilly, or O'Reilly, or whatever his name is, you know, with a smug little smile, he'd sit there and say, I'm a conspiracy kook, and I'm crazy. It's like, all right, you know, whatever, I don't care. I've heard it all before.
The airwaves.
Am I right?
Yeah, you're definitely right. And I think, Rob, that the fact is that you're able to pinpoint and point to everything. Now, looking at ultimately the Donald Trump in this whole thing, he says things that aren't conservative. You're definitely not under the conservative umbrella, Rob, are you?
Well, look, I mean, what Trump is, I mean, he's a fiscal conservative, okay? He's what's called a liberal Republican, and you just can't have it, okay? It just doesn't work. You can't be pro-abortion and call yourself a conservative. You can't be socially liberal and fiscally conservative, right?
Right.
It sounds good. You'll get a segment of the population to vote for you, but it's never going to work, all right? Look, I mean, you know, our founders, they prescribed the way to run this country. What is a must-have for any leader in this country is to be firmly rooted in the Christian Bible. Okay, that this was a decree by the founders. Okay, it wasn't a requirement, but ultimately, these guys knew that you had to subscribe to the principles of the Bible. You know, and it gets into the whole separation of church and state scam, and we don't have time to get into that right now, but, you know, it's not Trump, okay? Look, maybe he'll have a conversion, like Nebuchadnezzar back, if you go back to the old Book of Daniel, okay?
Right, right.
Or the people of the Book of Jonah, the people of Nineveh, okay? I pray for the guy that he has a conversion. And he may very well may, but the point is, you know, based on his past and based,
right.
you just it's just not going to work.
No, it's not. He cannot beat Hillary in a general election. He can't.
Well, I'm not even talking about that. He won't be allowed to win. It's just not going to happen. Okay, I just find it interesting of the vitriol that's coming out of the establishment press. You know, the New York Daily News, the New York Slimes, and these other, you know, Eastern establishment mouthpieces. You know, they're not really, the vitriol isn't really meant for Trump per se. Really, what it's meant for are the hundreds of millions of ordinary American citizens that are supporting him. It's almost like a rebellion in a sense. Okay, and it's just pissing people off in powerful places. You know, the useful idiots, you know, the press, okay, the controlled press. But take my word for it, okay, the real shadow government, the developers of the great society. And look, I'm looking at the clock, and I'm ready to see we're down to the last few minutes. And
yeah.
I promise, you know, we'll get to the word. Just do me a favor next week.
Yes.
Ask me about the meaning of the word great. Okay, GR, as in the Great Depression, the Great
sure.
Society, the Great War, War One. Do me a favor, because, you know, I tweeted out we're going to get to that, but we haven't had it.
No, but I mean, that I'm sure that because every week we aren't expecting. Yeah.
What I'm getting at is that that word, and when we go back into the meaning of that word, we will stumble across, from a religious standpoint, what's really going on here. And we kind of got off that subject this weekend's past events, but again,
yes,
tune in next week.
Now, here's a question, Rob, because we got about
the title of my first book. What's that?
No, I go ahead with the subtitle of your first book.
The subtitle of my first book, you know, it's called They Live, Great Society of the Undead. Okay, I put great in quotes. Okay, again, that's available on boxofsunglasses.com. You know, my first book, The Un-American Genocidal Complex, but if you go and you go to the table of contents beyond the opening page, you'll see find they live great society, the undead, okay, I put it in quotes, there's a lot of meaning behind that word. The people that think of it, the so-called great society of Lyndon Johnson, okay, Lyndon Johnson, who succeeded the aforementioned JFK, so in a sense we have built, we have established a build-up to that term. But anyway, I didn't mean to cut you.
No, not a problem. I mean, what I think, Rob, is that each week something crazier happens. And I think that when you look at Obama or Hillary Clinton on the Supreme Court, when you look at specifically how certain groups of individuals are trying to destroy our nation to the point where no longer are we going to be a free nation, no longer, which we aren't to a point, but to the point of we will give up all our rights just to be taken care of. The Bernie Sanders, the 90% tax, 90, all these things. And you look at the options of this debate where Trump's telling everyone to shut up and do all these different things and bring out talking points of a Democrat. All of these things, and I know you don't like to bring that up as this is the news. Your news is more interesting because you're telling me there's more to what everyone sees. There's more to the to the scripture, to everything else that leads to specifically one person, one situation. And that's what you want people to wake up to, the fact, right?
Yeah, look, I mean, there's no way out of it, okay? It's, you know, the best movie I could see to illustrate this is one of my favorite movies, John Carpenter's They Live. I mean, it's a 90-minute low-budget horror movie, but if you watch that movie, that's really what I'm talking about here. Okay, again, you know, I got the Fox News website up here as we're talking, and I'm just looking through the headlines. And, you know, here's an interesting one. I mean, just I guess in the last minute or so we have left here, I mean, here, trouble for Hillary Clinton in Nevada is one headline. And then on the other, you know, Sanders supporters blast roll, super delegates play. First of all, Sanders supporters are idiots on so many levels. I don't even know where to begin between supporting an outright socialist, you know, and taking an election, you know, presidential election seriously. But anyway, but just look at that as to what a joke. Forgetting all the politics, which is just what a joke what I'm talking about. Here you have Sanders, for whatever reason, okay, he is the obviously the much more popular candidate than the felon, Hillary Clinton. Okay, the radical abortionist Hillary Clinton, but it does not matter, okay, because she has something called super delegates. Okay, without getting into that nonsense.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. I mean, she's winning by a lot, yeah.
She's getting her ass kicked, you know, from sea to shining sea, yet she struts around. She's got this thing called superdelegates. In other words, the point is, again, without getting into the stupidity of Bernie Sanders, the point is he is the overriding favorite amongst the so-called liberal or Democratic voters, but it doesn't matter. Because the establishment pick, the Bilderberg pick, is Hillary, okay? So in other words, it's just another example of this joke, okay? And a bigger joke is, you know, Fox News, you're going to have these political pundits and these so-called experts and these graduates from these, you know, from these political schools, from Harvard and these other schools get on there and debate these political consultants and they debate like any of this BS matters, okay? So it's a joke wrapped in a comedy act, all tied up into a freaking
exactly.
farce. Okay,
all right,
what
yeah.
this whole thing is.
Well, Rob, we'll talk next week, anyway. But that gives us a good understanding. But we'll talk about great next week. Take care, man.
Yeah, please. All right, thanks. Take care.
All right, take care. That was Rob Roselli, and take care, everyone.
Everyone likes data, because when you have more data, you have more freedom. Freedom to do whatever. That's why AT&T is offering you 15 gigabytes for $100 plus $15 for each line. Because the more data you have, the more freedom you can enjoy. Freedom to post more memories, download more fun, and share what matters most with who matters most. 15 gigs of data for $100 plus $15 for each line at AT&T. What more could you want? I sure can't think of anything. AT&T, mobilizing your world.
Come in now and get the all-new LG V10, designed to capture, edit, and share high-quality video.
Pricing is monthly for service on smartphones on AT&T Next. Other pricing options available, overage monthly, and other charges and restrictions apply. See a store for details.